Holy hell, Maya. You're not going to believe what I just found buried in the Disability Services data. Students with disabilities are using AI tools at nearly triple the rate of their peers. But here's the kicker. They're not telling their professors.
Wait, what? Actually, that makes complete sense when you think about it. I had students who struggled with traditional note-taking, and if there had been something like ChatGPT back then...
Sorry, couldn't help overhearing. That's literally half my computer science cohort right there. We've got this whole underground network sharing prompts for making content more accessible. Like, one of my friends with dyslexia uses it to break down dense academic papers into bullet points.
That's exactly what the research is showing. But it gets more complicated. The French studies on generative AI in higher ed, there's this whole tension between innovation and academic integrity that nobody wants to talk about openly.
Because we shouldn't have to. This is exactly what I've been warning about for months. We're abandoning centuries of pedagogical practice for what? A chatbot that hallucinates references?
James, with all due respect, that ship has sailed. I've got three different committees trying to draft AI policies, and meanwhile, students are already using these tools for everything from research to writing code. We can't put this genie back in the bottle.
But maybe that's not the right question. Alex, what are students actually using it for? Because in my experience, technology adoption in education only works when it solves real problems.
So here's where it gets fascinating. The accounting assessment study, they tested ChatGPT on actual exam questions, right? And it performed surprisingly well on conceptual understanding, but struggled with complex problem solving. Students are figuring this out intuitively.
Oh, absolutely. In my algorithms class, we use it as a rubber duck for debugging, but nobody's dumb enough to trust it for the actual implementation. It's like a really smart study buddy who sometimes gets things hilariously wrong.
A study buddy that undermines the entire learning process. How do I know if a student actually understands the material, or if they're just parroting AI-generated responses?
James, I hear your frustration, but isn't that the same challenge we've always faced? I mean, students have been copying from each other, hiring tutors, using essay mills. AI is just the newest version of an old problem.
Except the scale is completely different. I'm seeing usage data from our learning management system. Engagement patterns have shifted dramatically in just one semester. Students are spending less time on traditional resources and more time elsewhere.
Right. And that's what the Pedagogy 2.0 framework is trying to address. They're arguing we need to completely reimagine assessment and learning objectives for an AI-integrated world.
Can I just say, from a student perspective, most of us aren't trying to cheat. We're drowning in coursework, working part-time jobs, dealing with mental health stuff. AI tools feel like a lifeline sometimes.
That's such an important point. When I was teaching, the students who struggled most were often the ones working multiple jobs or caring for family members. If AI can level that playing field even a little.
But at what cost? We're not just teaching content, we're teaching critical thinking, research skills, the ability to construct arguments. If students outsource all of that to AI, what exactly are they learning?
The research actually addresses this directly. Students using AI for accessibility support showed improved comprehension and retention compared to those struggling without support. It's not replacing learning, it's enabling it for some students.
The challenge is distinguishing between enabling and replacing. Our disability services office is overwhelmed trying to figure out which AI uses count as reasonable accommodations and which cross into academic dishonesty.
It's wild because in computer science, we're literally being taught to build these systems while simultaneously being told not to use them for our other classes. The irony is not lost on us.
That disconnect is everywhere in education right now. We're preparing students for a world where AI literacy is essential, while pretending it doesn't exist in our classrooms.
The French institutions are actually ahead of us on this. They're running pilot programs where AI use is not just allowed, but required, with students learning to critically evaluate and fact-check AI outputs.
Required? That's Actually, not the worst idea I've heard. If we're going to deal with this, maybe we should be teaching it explicitly rather than playing this cat and mouse game.
The logistics alone make my head spin. Faculty training, infrastructure updates, equity issues for students without reliable internet or devices.
Not to mention the cost. These premium AI tools aren't cheap, and the free versions have limitations. It's creating another digital divide on top of the ones we already have.
I saw this firsthand in my Title I school. We'd get new technology initiatives every few years, but without the support and training to implement them effectively, they just gathered dust.
That's exactly why the evidence-based adoption approach is so critical. The institutions seeing success are the ones starting small, pilot programs in specific departments, gathering data, iterating based on what works.
But who decides what works means? Improved test scores, student satisfaction, long-term career outcomes? We don't even have consensus on that.
James raises a crucial point. Our accreditation bodies are scrambling to update their standards. How do we maintain academic rigor when the fundamental tools of knowledge creation and assessment are shifting under our feet?
Maybe we need to rethink what rigor means. Like in my field, being able to effectively use AI tools is becoming as important as understanding the underlying algorithms. It's a different kind of rigor.
That generational perspective is so important. My younger colleagues adapted to remote teaching much faster during the pandemic because they were already comfortable with digital tools.
Speaking of the pandemic, several studies are drawing parallels between that rapid shift and what's happening now with AI. The difference is, this feels more permanent.
The pandemic was an emergency response. This is, I don't even know what to call it, a fundamental shift in how knowledge is created and transmitted.
The term I keep hearing is institutional transformation. But unlike previous tech adoptions, this one's happening whether we plan for it or not. Students are already using these tools.
Can confirm. My study group has a shared ChatGPT Plus account. We split the cost and use it for everything from brainstorming project ideas to practicing for technical interviews.
See, that collaborative aspect is interesting. It's not just individual students using AI in isolation. It's becoming part of how they work together.
The research on collaborative AI use in higher ed is still emerging, but early findings suggest it can actually enhance peer learning when used thoughtfully.
When used thoughtfully, is doing a lot of heavy lifting there. How many 18-year-olds do you know who thoughtfully consider the implications of their technology use?
Harsh but fair, though I'd argue we're more aware than you might think. My ethics in AI class is packed every semester. We're grappling with these questions too.
That's encouraging to hear. We've actually seen enrollment in AI ethics and digital literacy courses skyrocket. Students recognize they need these skills.
It reminds me of when Wikipedia first became popular. Teachers banned it outright, then gradually realized they needed to teach information literacy instead.
Exactly. And the accounting assessment study found something similar. AI performs well on factual recall, but struggles with nuanced professional judgment. That's where human instruction becomes more important, not less.
So we become, what, AI interpreters? Teaching students to prompt engineer their way through assignments?
More like teaching us to be critical consumers and directors of AI output. My best professors are the ones helping us understand when to use these tools and when to rely on our own analysis.
We're piloting something similar in our business school. Faculty are designing assignments that require students to use AI for initial research, then critically evaluate and build upon those results.
That sounds like it could actually deepen learning. Instead of spending hours on basic research, students can focus on higher order thinking and application.
The data supports that. Institutions reporting positive outcomes are those treating AI as a tool for augmentation rather than replacement. It's about finding the right balance.
Balance assumes we have control over how these tools are used. My concern is that we're reacting rather than leading. Where's the pedagogical theory behind all this?
Maybe the theory needs to emerge from practice this time. Like we're living through a massive experiment in real time, traditional academic timelines might be too slow.
That tension between academic deliberation and market speed is very real. By the time we publish best practices, the technology has already evolved.
Which brings us back to evidence-based adoption. We need to be documenting what works in real classrooms, not just theoretical frameworks.
The French studies are interesting here. They're taking a more systematic approach with national coordination between institutions, less reinventing the wheel at every university.
I'll admit, some coordination would help. Right now, it feels like every department is making it up as they go along. My colleagues in engineering have completely different policies than those of us in humanities.
That inconsistency is super frustrating from a student perspective. I've had professors who encourage AI use and others who threaten academic misconduct charges for even mentioning ChatGPT.
We're working on university-wide guidelines, but the disciplinary differences are real. What works for computer science might not work for creative writing or chemistry labs.
This is where teacher expertise becomes crucial. Who better to determine appropriate AI use in their subject than the educators who deeply understand the learning objectives?
The disability services angle complicates this further. If AI tools provide essential accessibility support for some students, blanket bans could violate accommodation requirements.
Great, so now I need to be an AI expert, an accessibility specialist, and somehow still teach Victorian literature.
Maybe that's where students can help. We're already using these tools. We could partner with faculty to develop appropriate use cases.
Student-faculty partnerships on AI integration. That's actually not a bad idea. We've had success with students as technology ambassadors in other initiatives.
It would certainly help with buy-in. Nothing worse than top-down technology mandates that don't reflect classroom realities.
The research consistently shows that successful AI integration requires multiple stakeholder involvement. Students, faculty, administration, even employers who hire graduates.
Employers, there's another complication. Are we preparing students for workplaces that expect AI literacy or maintaining academic standards that might seem antiquated to industry?
In tech, it's definitely the former. My internship last summer, AI tools were just part of the workflow. Companies expect you to know how to use them effectively.
We're hearing the same from our advisory boards across multiple disciplines. Industry partners want graduates who can work alongside AI, not in spite of it.
But we can't lose sight of the fundamental purpose of education. It's not just job training. It's about developing critical thinkers and engaged citizens.
That's the creative tension at the heart of all this. How do we preserve what's essential about higher education while adapting to technological reality?
Maybe I've been too resistant, but that question keeps me up at night. What if we're witnessing the beginning of the end of traditional academic inquiry?
Or maybe it's evolution rather than extinction. Like the printing press didn't end scholarship, it transformed it.
The scale and speed feel different this time, though. We're not talking about a gradual shift over centuries, but dramatic changes within single semesters.
Which is why documentation and evidence gathering are so crucial right now. We're living through a historic transformation of education.
Looking at all the data I've gathered this month, the pattern is clear. Institutions that are thriving are those approaching AI integration as a community effort, not a top-down mandate or a bottom-up rebellion.
Community effort. I like that framing better than the disruption rhetoric we usually hear. It suggests we all have a role to play.
Absolutely. And honestly, most students want to work with faculty on this, not against them. We're all trying to figure out what authentic learning looks like in an AI-augmented world.
That's the kind of perspective that gives me hope. If we can channel this energy into constructive collaboration rather than conflict.
The practical teacher in me wants to know, what does Monday morning look like? How do we start building this collaborative approach?
Based on the research, small pilots seem to work best. Pick one course, one assignment, one learning objective. Test AI integration thoughtfully, gather feedback, iterate.
I could see trying that with my senior seminar. They're mature enough to engage critically with both the technology and its implications.
Yes, and document everything. My CS friends and I have been keeping notes on what AI tools work for different types of assignments. We could share that data.
This is exactly the kind of grassroots effort that could inform institutional policy. Bottom-up evidence to support thoughtful guidelines.
It reminds me of the best curriculum reforms I've seen. They always started with teachers experimenting in their own classrooms.
The month's data tells a consistent story. Rapid change is happening whether we're ready or not. But how we respond, with fear or curiosity, resistance or collaboration, that's still up to us.
I entered this conversation as a skeptic, and I'm leaving, well, still skeptical, but perhaps more constructively so.
That's all we can ask, really. Thoughtful skepticism beats either blind acceptance or total rejection.
As we wrap up, I'm struck by how this conversation mirrors what's happening across higher education. Different perspectives coming together to grapple with complex challenges.
And no easy answers, just the commitment to keep wrestling with the questions.
Which brings us full circle to where we started, with students using AI tools to overcome barriers and access education. Maybe that's the North Star we need to navigate by.
Ensuring all students can learn effectively with or without AI assistance. Put that way, it's hard to argue against.
The future of education isn't about choosing between human and artificial intelligence. It's about figuring out how they can work together to serve learners.
On that note, I need to run to yet another AI task force meeting, but this conversation has given me new perspectives to bring to the table.
Same here. The classroom may look different than when I started teaching, but the mission remains the same, helping students reach their potential.
And that's perhaps the most important insight from all this data. Technology changes, but the human need to learn, grow, and understand our world, that's the constant we build everything else around.